This is a stud bracket. We're not, this isn't how good you are.
For my criteria, it's going to be about 2% playing ability.
Yeah.
We're mostly talking personality, attractiveness,
fan engagement.
If you like nice guys, if you like bad boys, whatever you might like personally, that's where this goes.
We might have somebody that's, let's say, under the radar hot-wise, but they have a phenomenal personality. They make you laugh. You know, that can go a long way. We're going to give you guys a matchup. We're going to give you a high-level overview of our thoughts on that matchup. And then we are going to throw this over to you on social for you to make your picks. You make your votes. And then week by week, we will wean this down to the top two studs and have the Super Bowl of all pickleball studs to crown our king.
The stud of studs.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary.
I'm smiling ear to ear right now. This is a fun episode. That's for sure.
You're smiling because we're about to talk about hot guys.
Yeah, hot guys.
So we finally got here. We've teased it a little bit. We've finally got the stud v stud bracket. The hot guys. We got a round of 32 that we're going to go into today. 16 matchups of just studly men just battling against other studly men. And if you don't remember, these are kind of the things we're gauging the matchup on. And this, we're not picking winners here. We're letting you guys pick the winners. So we are just going to talk through the matchups. We're going to have probably a poll on social for you guys to vote. And whoever receives the most votes is going to advance out of the round of 32 into the round of 16 until we crown a pickleball king, the stud of all studs. Adam, are you ready for this?
I am ready for this, but I think it is important to note the criteria, and it's probably a little bit different from everyone. For my criteria, it's going to be about 2% playing ability.
Yeah,
we're mostly talking personality, attractiveness.
Fan engagement.
If you like nice guys, if you like bad boys, whatever you might like personally, that's where this goes. And we're just going to lay it out there for you and let you make your own decision. So this is exciting.
Yeah, I mean, we might have somebody that's, let's say, under the radar hot-wise, but they have a phenomenal personality. They make you laugh. You know, that can go a long way. Go a long way. So, like, talk about Greg Dow of all people. I mean, he could be a dark horse. He could make a deep run because he's got that edge on the personality and the funniness aspect.
That's true. Just facts.
But I will say, Adam, just going through this draw and this bracket, some of the 1-8 seeds have some tough first round matchups, as you know. As we expect to see in any competitive draw, so it'll be interesting to see what happens here. But shall we get into it? Let's talk about the criteria because they are voting. You at home will be voting, and again, it might be different for everybody, like Adam said. But this is very, in our eyes, this is a stud bracket. This isn't how good you are. So playing wise, this is how good you are as a
Yeah, maybe if you have a tie, you can use pickleball ability to break that tie. But other than that, we're going, I mean, that's like number 10 on the list for me anyway.
Yeah, so, agreed. It's weighted very low. It should be weighted very low.
And I've skimmed the matchups, but I do not have them locked in right here. So you're just going to throw it at me and drop it on me, and I'm just going to go from there. Okay?
Yep, we're going to give you guys the matchups. We're going to give you a high-level overview of our thoughts on that matchup. And then we are going to throw this over to you on social for you to make your picks. You make your votes. And then week by week, we will wean this down to the top two studs and have the Super Bowl of all pickleball studs to crown our king.
The stud of studs.
The stud of studs. Who's it going
to
be?
I guess we also need to, I know that you have mentioned this before, but we need to throw this out and give a little love over to Sam Querrey and Jack Sock and those guys that started this up on their tennis podcast, and we're shifting it over to pickle.
And I think Berrettini won on the tennis side, regardless of his really tiny legs. So, you know, you can overcome some odds to
chicken
to,
legs.
Yeah, I mean, those legs are really, really small. So,
yeah, chicken legs are not an issue for some people, but that's a deal breaker for others. So this is what's beautiful about this bracket, is that it is all personal preference. And, you know, stud for one person is not a stud for another.
Yes, and we need to understand, you know, hopefully when you guys, you know, cast your votes on who's going to win these matchups, we need to know why. We need to know why, for example, I'm not going to get into the matchups yet, but we need to know why you picked who you picked and why you believe that they should have beaten the person that they beat. But without further ado, Adam, shall we get into the top half of the bracket?
Please.
Okay, and to preface this, we have seeds. But we just have three tiers of seeds. We don't have a true one seed, a true two seed, anything like that. We have a 1-8 seed. We have a 17-32 seed. I don't know why I said in that order. And we have a 9-16 seed. So that's kind of how it's broken up. But we will go through these and discuss. Here we go. Top half, match one.
Hit me with it.
Tyson McGuffin, a 1-8 seed, squaring off against Rafa Hewitt, a 17-32 seed.
Oh, wow.
Thoughts, Adam?
Interesting matchup there, too. Two friends as well. They've done a good bit of training together.
Two Idaho boys.
And each one brings something different to the table here. So it's going to be a tall task for Rafa, but he has some intangibles working for him. He's a fun guy. He's
Churchwell.
They're both great to have a cocktail with, have an IPA with, and go from there. So, this is a good battle. And Rafa has that rugged, I live on a ranch or have lived on a ranch aspect.
I've driven a tractor. Yeah, he knows what to do.
Absolutely.
There's some swag there. There's swag there for sure.
And it's we'll go with more of a dad bod vibe. Both dads, but I would say Rafa has more of the legitimate dad bod like myself. So,
which some people like
cuddly, snuggly, I would imagine that he is, not positive, but I would imagine that that is the case. And then you have Tyson. He's got that blend of people love him. He has that energy about him, but at the same time, he has some bad boy qualities. So
he's got
the sleeves, he's got the tattoos. And I believe he does have some new ink on his back involving his wife, Meg McGuffin. So, always has a nice tan, has the chompers out, has the pearly whites. So, I mean, man, what a matchup to start it off.
And I will say, Rafa, I'm speaking directly to you, Rafa. You are the underdog here. I think you know that. You're underdog based on our opinion, but also just based on the seeding, which I guess we did set too. So yes, based on our opinion and the seeds that we set. So with that said, we need you to create a little Instagram story about why you should be taken seriously in this matchup and why you should be the winner over Tyson McGuffin. So throwing that out there to you, Rafa, send it out there. Let's hear it. And yeah, you can tag us too. All right. So
I guess Rob will say, if you're going by play on the court, you have to give the slight edge to McGuffin, but all that's, you know, what that's whatever.
Unless you're playing MLP. Then who knows?
That's a factor there. A factor. So maybe we had this 2 years ago, it'd be pretty lopsided, but maybe it's a little tighter on court when you put the whole body of work out there. So, and Rafa, good teammate. He has that factor.
Good teammate.
Not that Tyson isn't, but I think the round him up and some of that energy that Rafa Hewitt brings might make this a little tighter matchup than we were initially expecting.
They might, but he's going to have to really round them up in terms of the fans. So, Rafa, get to work, buddy. All right. Matchup number 2 of 16. We have a 9-16 seed, AJ Kohler, who's, you know, playing a little less pickle, a little less active deep in the draws, but regardless, still a fan favorite, still Chet Subaru, going going against another kind of OG player, a 17-32 seed, Patrick Smith.
Oh, wow.
That's a tough first rounder. It's a tough first round.
That's right. I mean, he's half of Team Model with Jay DeVilliers, Pat Smith. Old school, extremely nice guy.
Which nice guys sometimes finish last, particularly in the stud v stud bracket. So,
This is a contrast of styles too, because you have kind of AJ Kohler, the Iceman, wandering through life, not as rigid or as structured or labeled as that nice guy as
like
Pat
Smith. Total opposites.
So this really is a total opposite situation, and Pat Smith's got that right arm though. He rolls up the sleeve. He's chiseled. We'll just go with that. He's a chiseled fella.
Yep.
And then you have the soft hairiness of AJ Kohler, who loves to have his shirt off at all times. So this is a real battle right here. And if I had to pick, which I'm not going to pick, and I don't have to, this could be a toss up.
Yeah, I mean, you have total contrast. You have Kohler, who's ready to fight somebody on court like an Al Hooney, and then you have Pat, who's just like wants to hug everybody. It feels like
he does.
Obviously, some fire there too. But this is an interesting one to me, and we will see who you guys select. And to me, this is a 50-50. I really don't know.
I agree.
Who's going to come out on top here? But would love to hear your guys' thoughts on this matchup, and who do you think is going to emerge out of round one into round two to face either Tyson or Rafa?
Yeah, we better get a good comment section, because there could be some very nice, spicy comments on some of these matchups on social media.
Okay, match number three. We've got a 1-8 seed versus a 17-32 seed. We've got Travis Rettmeyer as the 1-8 seed going against Brandon French as a 17-32 seed.
Wow.
Brandon French, he's a tough one as a 17-32. That's a tough first round for Rettmeyer, because if we're talking about swag and like talking and chirping, French is top three, I think. Top three, top five. That's a tough one. Rettmeyer's obviously got him in the looks, in my opinion. He's never wears a shirt.
Never.
And also a chirper, also ready to throw down, also ready to give unsolicited opinions all the time. And not really afraid of what he's saying either, which is great. So this is an interesting matchup too. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think either guy gives a damn about much, which is intriguing to some. And this is back-to-back matchups with one of the fellas hating to wear a shirt. And
yes.
First AJ Kohler and now Travis Rettmeyer. So, this is – and I talked about it previously with Brandon French, that he can talk smack to you and chirp on court, and then he can go be a buddy and go out to dinner with you and have a cold beverage as well later that evening. So that is an interesting factor. And let's not forget, he's a lawyer. I mean, he is a lawyer. I believe it is import-export of some sort. So that's fancy, and people like that. Rettmeyer, former pro tennis player, and like you said, unsolicited opinions, doesn't really care about much. So I think if you're going from that perspective of two fellas just doing their thing, going about their business in their own way, these two fit that bill.
Agreed. And obviously, Brandon French, I'd say, is the underdog here, 17-32 seed going up against a 1-8 seed. Brandon French, talking to you, buddy. As an attorney, give us your best argument on why you should advance to the next round. Okay, you ready? Match number four. Uh-huh. We have a 9-16 seed, Jack Monroe, going against a 17-32 seed, Will Howells.
Okay, interesting.
What do you think?
Jack Monroe, he's
a fan favorite.
A young lad. He's got
curls. Yeah, curls, yeah, light eyes,
That's true. He's got tan with the light eyes. That's a nice combination.
That's a tough
people
combo.
Like that.
Yep.
It is. University of Texas at Austin. And actually, for being so young, Jack Monroe is an OG. The youngest 5-0 player ever back in the day. We're talking dang near a decade there for Jack Monroe. So, young fella, OG of pickleball, has some nice looks on his side, and up against Will Howes. So that I would say that that is an underdog situation for Will Howes. But, you know, you got to dig out of it.
And Will Howes is a little polarizing, right? He likes to chirp a lot, likes to go back and forth, has a lot to say on court, willing to be kind of the, you know, the jerk if he needs to be, will say stuff. Him and Matt Wright's an all-time matchup. Shame they didn't get. What do you think Will needs to do to take down Jack here?
Yeah, that's a good question. Pretty dang good performance in Major League Pickleball last year for the New Jersey Fives. That's going to help the situation. Seemed to be a pretty good teammate through all that and that talk like you mentioned. So the guy, he has that special sauce of confidence. He kind of walks around like, you know, he is the man, and he's pretty dang good at pickleball. So I think that that package right there could get him close, if not match up evenly with Jack Monroe.
That's a good plan. If I didn't even think about, you know, the Fives have, I would say, one of the stronger fan bases in all of MLP. So if he can get the Fives Nation to rally around him, he might have a chance to take down a 9-16 seed in Jack Monroe.
There you go.
Also partners quite often in APP. So that's an interesting factor in the matchup.
A little personal twist there. I like that.
Selkirk Cork Strike, lightweight, breathable.
Seamless. So
what I do like is the all one color. It's a nice style.
Yeah, it looks good.
These are available.
Rob, 6 months sole guarantee too, which is super important for me because I'm an explosive athlete and a high-end mover, world-class foot speed and footwork. So sometimes I just blow through the soles. I like to tie my shoes really tight, and sometimes I get the loop of the tie and I slide on that and it rips, and I hate it when that happens. Seems to be my left big toe area, just sole gone. So to have that for 6 months is something that I need.
All right, next matchup, match number 5. We've got a 1-8 seed with Roscoe Bellamy. I don't think any surprise there with those, you know, with that height and those beautiful blue eyes, Mr. Bellamy, going against a 17-32 seed, an older gentleman, into his 40s. But you know, I think a lot of people like his backside, and that's Johnson Cola.
Oh, Johnson Cola, another great content creator as well. So yes. Distinguished father on there. So he has, you know, some of those different qualities from Roscoe Bellamy, who is in his 20s. So, but yeah, the height of Roscoe, and actually Roscoe, pretty dang good personality and pretty solid on the mic. He's jumped in the booth, done a bit of commentary. I like what he has to say. And then, like I said, on the other end of that is Johnson Cola. Puts out some pretty good videos. Just watched one about aggressive returning, and quite a few views. People like his content. So I think both of these guys are very well-rounded.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think Roscoe's probably got him on the age and the just the hot factor. But Sincola's got a loyal following on the YouTube.
There's something about him. Right, Rob?
Something about him. Mm-hmm. Kind of soft-spoken. Don't think he's going to, like, you know, stir up controversy much. But don't forget, he was willing to call out a pretty poor line call back in Atlanta, PPA, a number of years ago. I don't know if you remember that, Adam. But
I do remember. It was Rafa Hewitt. And I think, you know, with that older factor, not that Roscoe can't do this, but I've had a couple kind of deep strategic conversations with Johnson Cola. So I think, you know, he can get on that, possibly get on that next level, which could help the situation.
Little wise. He's a wise man.
Wise.
Correct. Matchup number 6. We have a 9-16 seed in Pablo Tellez matching up against a 17-32 seed. Also quite the social creator, and Zane Navratil. What are your thoughts on this matchup? Got a bad boy in Pablo versus a Zane who pumps out a lot of content, says a lot of opinions, also podcast host.
For sure. So you got the South American flair of Pablo Tellez, and I do agree with the bad boy status. Been somewhat close to fighting fans before.
which is a big deal. That's awesome.
You have to throw that in there. A couple of choice words thrown out, and a spicy player. And I think that carries over to his game too, because sometimes you know, Pablo will make some mistakes, but he can make some pretty spectacular shot making as well. Another fella with the really nice smile and the chomper. So when he gets it going and flashes the pearly whites, I think that is definitely an advantage for Pablo Tellez. But St. Navratil, pretty well-rounded. He is witty. He's sharp as attack. A smart guy, former CPA. So there's plenty to like there. Now, you know, he's a pretty skinny guy. And so, you know, maybe some more meat on his bones could help him there. But
Pablo's not the biggest guy either. So featherweight matchup.
So there you go. So if it's maybe against a more muscular physique, that could be an issue, but pretty even in that regard. So another good matchup like they all have been, Rob.
I think, again, it's a little bit of a contrast in terms of, do you want the bad boy or do you want the guy that, you know, he'll have some takes, but I think – his takes have calmed down since signing with the PPA, right? So
not surprising.
And yeah,
total opposite too. Also, and like Zane likes hot yoga and waking up at 6 a.m. and going to sleep at 9 p.m. All of that mixed into it, which is, you know, you could like that or you could not like that. Whatever. Yeah,
pick what you like. You like the bad boy or you like the good guy? You know, we'll see. Match number 7. Two more matchups here in the top half of the bracket. We've got a 1-8 seed, Mr. James Ignatowicz, which, you know, Greg Dow would have been very disappointed if he wasn't a 1-8 seed. So we had to put James up there in a 1-8 seed. So number one seed for Greg. But he is going against Matt Wright, 17-32 seed.
Matty Dub, interesting. Those two have played together before as well, multiple times.
Contrast again, right? We have Young putting out a lot on social, says stuff like more of a personality off court in terms of talking to the camera, like being witty and funny. That's James versus Matt, who is all personality on the court and kind of like dials it way back off the court.
You would think that, but yes, you get Matt Wright has a 6-0 plus cocktail party game. And if get big, likes to swirl the bourbon. If you catch him in the right situation, another one of those distinguished fellas with the beautiful bald head, and you get him chatting, and that man can talk about anything. So, of course, you have the lawyer factor, successful in life. You have the more of the younger, tall, dark, and handsome James Ignatowicz. So this is another one of those contrasting styles. I like these matchups because you have some similar matchups and then you have some contrasting matchups. So it is a, you know, whatever floats your boat for this particular one. But I think there's plenty to like with both.
I think, again, with these 17-32 seeds going for the big upsets, we're never going to get it. But I'd love to hear why Matt thinks that he could take down James. That'd be interesting. Or any of you out there that think Matt could take down James.
Right.
I think both kind of polarizing. Like, some people love James, some people don't like him. Same with Matt. So I think this will be a really interesting matchup to see how it shakes out, because you might get a random upset here, which who knows? You know, I think it's gonna be closer than people think.
That's a great assessment.
Thanks, Adam. Okay, last match on the top half of the draw. We've got a 9-16 seed with DJ Young. You know, he made that seed because of talk about flair, talk about personality. He's willing to say some stuff and be out there. He's got some swag, that Spanish swag. So he's going against a person who some people might think he is seeded too low. But felt like this was an appropriate seed based on the whole picture of what we're gauging things on. So we have DJ Young, 9-16 seed, going against Hunter Johnson, a 17-32 seed. Thoughts, Adam?
Okay. All right. So that another interesting matchup. Of course, DJ Young, I mean, he's got the dark complexion. He's got the beard.
Tats.
He's got the tattoos. Spanish background. So this loves to wear tank tops. Big fan of tank tops, and I am a fan of him wearing tank tops. So And I do agree. He kind of has that, even in his game style. Like he goes for the high risk, high reward shot, not just bunting the ball back in play. And really both fellas do. Hunter Johnson likes to pull the trigger too on the court. And DJ Young, new father as well, as one of the younger players in the bracket. So he's got the young factor and the father factor. That could be a lot to overcome for Hunter Johnson.
Yep.
Yeah, and Hunter Johnson on that, he's been in a Super Bowl commercial. I mean, come on. I mean, that's pretty legit as well. People like that. Of course, his special friend, Paris Todd. And Hunter Johnson also, I mean, he is creeped up into the top five of singles. Very capable of winning an event at any moment on the singles court.
Not that that matters at all, but...
Not that that matters. I'm throwing it in there.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair.
I threw it in there as a possible tiebreaker in this tight matchup, Robert.
Yeah, you think that's a better tiebreaker over being a father or being a Super Bowl is a good X factor as well.
Probably.
But
not.
I do think, Adam, that Hunter has a bit of an advantage here in terms of also not only having his own fans that people like to watch him play, but also his special friend, like you mentioned, Paris.
Yeah.
Like you're going to be able to pull from her kind of fan group as well. So that's that could be the X factor as well. That'll be an interesting, that's a pretty close matchup there because, you know, at first glance, you think DJ's got, in terms of stud v stud, DJ's got the, you know, a lot of intangibles that bring out some swag, which Hunter might lack a little bit. But Hunter's got some other factors that you have to weigh in there. So really curious to see what happens there. DJ, I know you're listening to this and watching this, so I want to hear why you think, as a higher seed, that you should advance with no problem over Hunter. All right. That's the top half of the bracket. To the bottom half, Adam, any intermission here that you know, anything that stands out on the top half so far?
No, this is riveting stuff. I'm enjoying myself all the way through. We're only halfway done. Let's get to the bottom half.
I can't believe we're doing
bracket.
This without a beverage. It's too early to do without a beverage. But next time, we'll have a beverage. Uh-huh. All right. Bottom half. Top of the bottom half. We have this is a barn burner. I tell you what, buckle up, folks. This is if we see any upsets of the 17-32 over the 1-8, this one might be it. I don't know. We'll see. But we have Jack Sock as a 1-8 seed, you know, big fan base, obviously coming from tennis, loves to chirp on court, a lot of personality, which is great stuff. This was inspired by him and his pod, so thank you, Jack. Going against a really tough 17-32 seed, I might say this toughest 17-32 seed, and Martin Emmerich, Adam.
Oh, my goodness.
I know Martin got kind of shafted, maybe a low seed for him. But he's too nice. Not too nice. He's very nice and respectful. Doesn't chirp a lot. Like very Pat Smith-esque. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just really nice guy. Chiseled. Martin does have the tat aspect, which maybe elevates his swag a little bit. But what are your thoughts on this matchup, Jack Sock versus Martin Emmerich?
There's something about the tan and the tats that go together. Martin Emmerich has both. MLP snub. He's hot right now. Let's just be clear. Martin Emmerich is hot right now. He's got the dad factor. He has a wife that plays, so there could be double dipping from a social media aspect, like you said, Hunter in Paris. He's left-handed. That's a bonus.
Yep.
And shout out to little Gabby, their daughter. So, and then you have, of course, Jack Sock, the reason why we're doing this. Gave us the idea, the derriere, the caboose. It is all there. The backside. It's strong. It's strong.
Implants?
It's a strong lower half for him. What'd you say?
Implants or no?
No, I would say I think it's natural. I believe it is natural. Yes.
Natural.
So
okay.
I have not poked it or touched it or anything like that. So I'm not positive, but I think it's all natural.
Cool. Well, brush up against it today. Just like give it a whoops. Just see how firm it is.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I could easily do that. I could kind of work out a little situation where he wouldn't even notice. I'll just brush up against it, and I'll let you know.
Please. And not just me, but everybody. That could be a determining factor, real or not real, in terms of does he advance out of the first round. So
it's a battle. That's an absolute battle, right?
That could, I mean, we might see an upset there. Martin's a tough out in the first round, so we shall see. Match number 10, we have a 9-16 seed in Callan Dawson, big fan favorite amongst the ladies out there, going against a 1940s World War II gunner, Andre Daescu, a 17-32 seed. It's one of the funniest memes of pickleball that I've seen. It's like a, you know, they did it like black and white, and he truly looks like one of the gunners from World War II. But regardless, Andre Daescu, good height, great player, good fighter, good crowd engagement, always like doing this to the crowd after after he wins a match. You know, fans love him and respect him. Against Callan Dawson, who's a quieter guy that you think of. He's pretty funny. I know you know he's funny. He's a surfer. He's a little bit of a free spirit, likes to get out there. What are your thoughts on this matchup, Adam?
Oh, let's not forget he used to be a firefighter.
That too.
Imagine Callan Dawson loaded up with the gear.
Stop it. That is a tough round. This is very tough for Andre. This is going to be an uphill battle.
That's right. And I mean, and he's Callan Dawson. I mean, absolute legend of the game too. He's got the family aspect in there. Bobby Riggs racket and paddle down in Encinitas, California. Spent a lot of time there. So I think you're exactly right. He is very calm and collected on court, but if you get Callan Dawson in the right situation, he will absolutely show you that sparkling personality. So a big fan of Callan. And then Romanian Tower 1, Andre Daescu. I mean, I think dad, of course, helps the factor.
Yep.
And he's just so stable and so strong and mentally tough as a partner on the court or off the court. I think that is a huge factor for Andre in this particular matchup, but of course another good one.
That's a good point. Just like a rock solid guy that, you know, you can depend on, which is a big deal, right? So
it is. Security is important.
I would say Callan's a bit more free spirited, and you have Andre, which is just like the rock. So that's a really good contrasting matchup there. Next we have, I would say, another fan favorite, another great chirper on court. A lot of smiling. You can probably guess it's a 1-8 seed, Adam. It's Jaume Martinez Vic going against a 17-32 seed, an older gentleman, and also a nice gentleman, but has some fire, and Bang Bang Eric Lang.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So there you go.
What can Eric do to make this a competitive match?
I mean, he's a former SoCal Heartache captain, my captain, tall, dark, and handsome Eric Lang.
Good height. Talk about contrast, height versus not height.
That's right. So, I mean, a little bit of whatever you need here in this matchup. But once again, the security factor, we talked about that with Andre Daescu. That is absolutely Eric Lang. He likes to wake up early, about 6 a.m., have a nice cold brew, do some stuff with the family. Very good at planning. Very good planner. And I think that could get him through this on the complete polar opposite of Jaume Martinez Vic. He's talked about he's had some struggles in his life. He has done a lot of living throughout, but I mean, he's a nice looking man. He has a jovial personality. He has the tattoos and the tan once again. So he's from Mallorca. I mean, what a beautiful place, beautiful everything. Another contrasting styles matchup, and whatever you need, this one has it.
Yeah, I think this might be a little closer than we imagined. And again, ton of contrast in this one. Looking at the next one, we have, this is a tough one for Greg. We have Greg Dow as a 17-32 seed. Squeaking into the stud v stud draw, going against Christian Alshon, who's a 9-16 seed. Oh, so right. Yeah, this is a tough first rounder for Greg. Any thoughts on this matchup, Adam?
Yeah, so I mean, Christian Alshon, definitely playing some great ball, which doesn't really matter.
Good for him. Who cares?
He also does some content and has a YouTube channel, and he really lays it all out there. He puts himself out there. He wants it desperately bad. He is into the sport. He's obsessed. He's a hard worker. And he has a lot of physical gifts. He's an explosive athlete.
Yeah.
And I think that is exactly what Greg Dow isn't. So, again, a wonderful matchup here. But you have, I mean, Alshon, not a short guy, but Greg Dow, he is up there. And
yeah.
I think that Greg Dow, he's got a pretty face. And I think he's got that personality and that wit and that lightness about him that can make him a tough competitor for Christian Alshon.
Yeah, he's going to be a tough out for sure. You have Greg, who's, I would say, I mean, he'll say some stuff that maybe not everybody likes or that's appropriate. But I would say he's pretty – he can get away with saying stuff that's kind of gnarly.
Yes.
But still, people still love him because he's just, like, earnest and jovial and just smiling and Greg, right? Whereas I think Alshon probably has some a little bit more polarizing of a figure, has more fans and more detractors. I think – so it just depends. Will Christian's – you know, level of fans versus detractors outweigh Greg Dow, who's universally liked mostly and pretty funny. So interesting matchup. And I think, I mean, Christian's a 9-16 seed. Greg's a 17-32. So certainly be an upset if Greg wins. But if anybody could pull off this upset, it would be Greg Dow. So Greg, I know you're listening. I know you're watching. Put out on social why you think you can overcome Alshon in this match. And also, where are the Dow's tips at? Come on, more Dow tips, please.
Dinking with Dow.
All right. Fascinating matchup there. Match 13, we have a 1-8 seed. And this was an interesting 1-8 seed because he's a little guy, but he makes up for it with swag. And that's Big H. That's Hayden Patrickwin. He's a 1-8 seed. Going up against another California guy and Connor Garnett, 17-32 seed. And Connor got the 17-32 seed because he's a little quieter, less swag, I would say. He'll trip if he needs to, but generally very, very nice. Hayden, on the other hand, also very nice, but will say whatever he wants on court and be homies off court. You know, school of Jeff Warnick. So
yeah.
What are your thoughts on this matchup of two slighter framed white men?
Well, first off, I'll start off with great two-handed backhand for Connor, great one-handed flick from Hayden. Does not matter, but
does
I wanted
matter.
To throw it out there. That's right. So I mean, Hayden, I'm a big fan of Hayden, and I think that he does, like, he will chirp, and then he will get lit up right after, and he will continue to chirp. And I respect that from a confidence of, you said, the school of Jeff Warnick. And I have actually spent a small bit of time with Hayden off court, and I think you would be surprised the difference that Hayden brings off court. Much lighter, much cooler and calmer than you would expect with some of that pent-up energy that he plays with on court. And, of course, very nice guy, Connor Garnett. He has that vibe about him where I think he balances being a very tough competitor with keeping it light and fun and giving respect to his opponents when he is playing. So I think that is two fellas that go about their business in a nice way. If you like rippled, massive muscles, this is probably not the matchup for you. But there is lots of intangibles and lots of other things that make a stud a stud.
Yeah, I think it'd be an upset for Connor to get this. Connor would love to hear why you think you could take down Hayden and the stud v stud matchup. Next matchup, we've got a fun one. We've got a lefty going against one of the louder 17-32 seeds. So we've got Donald Young as a 9-16 seed. We have him going against Julian Andiamo Arnold
in the
first round.
Okay.
Which, you know, Donald, newer to the scene, still chirping a lot, especially when he's got Rettenmeier beside him. It kind of rubs off. But a lot of confidence, a lot of swag from Donald. Obviously a great tennis player that's gone deep in slams and doubles especially. Going against Julian, who is one of the, I would say, if not the loudest guy on tour, one of the loudest. What are your thoughts?
I would say the loudest, yes. But again, I like these matchups where you have when you have the guy that is so intense on court and can keep it pretty light off court.
Yeah.
So Also, double whammy with special friend Lauren Stratman.
That's true.
Help in some of the voting. So I like Julian Arnold. I think the energy that he brings on court is palpable, and I have enjoyed some time with Julian off court. Nice guy. I think he's a pretty thoughtful guy, which some people might not know.
Yep.
And Donald Young, of course, lefty factor is nice. Great smile. Really yep. nice smile. And again, one of those players who the very, very little bit of time that I've spent with him off course has been enjoyable, but he will bark and have a little bit of bite on court and let his opponents know what he thinks about their game or when he does something special.
Yeah, I will say one of the detractors maybe for Donald is that he is newer to the scene
yep.
and might not have as big of a fan base as he would had he been around a little longer. And on that note, he snuck into this bracket, but we are going to later do a more of an up and comer bracket. So if you're wondering why some people are missing from this bracket, we did this based on, generally speaking, you know, how visible these players are. We know there's a lot of new up and coming players coming into the PPA, coming into different places, and we will have an up and comers bracket, seated the similar way, the whole thing, but. So if you're not seeing somebody on this bracket, that's probably why. They're probably going to be in the up-and-comers bracket. So just hang tight. We will get there, but Rob, not yet.
Rob, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know we had an up-and-comers bracket. This is more excitement
breaking news.
Coming
breaking
to this
news.
Episode.
We get to talk about more studs, more hot guy talk. Let's go. Maybe we just change the podcast to just talk about hot guys. All right. Last two matchups here, Adam, for the first round. We've got match 15. Again, this is a tough battle, but obviously Jay DeVille is going to be a 1-8 seed. Been around too long. Fan favorite. Good looking Frenchman. Can speak multiple languages. Going against Riley Newman, 17-32 seed. What do you think, Adam?
Rye guy. Interesting. Yeah, this is going to be a tough matchup for Riley. Jay. Also, Jay's a pretty big flirt. So he knows he can give the people what they want. And, you know, those 60-year-old ladies that he's doing the clinic for or whatever, you know, he can say the right things
yep.
and multiple languages, like you said, obviously one half of team model. We talked about Pat Smith earlier, been around the game for a while, maybe get some sympathy for that knee injury that he went through last year could help. And then Riley Newman also, I think that he had a bit of a villain type vibe about him a while ago. Some of the results have dipped a little bit for him, and I think that he is making it a point of emphasis to do a lot of the right things to get some support from the fan base, and still hanging around both veterans of the game, been playing a long time. So I think that maybe this could have been a landslide a year or two ago, but I think Riley is moving in the right direction and showing off that he, you know, cares what people think, and his behavior has been the last little bit of time.
Depending if you like nice guys. If you want a bad guy, you know.
That's true.
If you want a bad boy, you still got that in Riley. He's still got a lot of swag and confidence on court, even though results have dipped. He still thinks he can beat anybody, so... That's an important level to this. Final matchup, Adam. You ready for this?
I am.
All right. We've got Federico Staxrud as a 9-16 seed going up against a newcomer fan favorite, Augie Guh.
Oh, Augustus Guh. And he definitely fits the nice guy label. So, I mean, perfect score on the math SAT. We have the intelligence going on there. All the players are a fan. He's got the lefty factor. And I think I'm a big fan of Augustus Guh. And I think that he brings a lot to the table besides for the on-court play, which, once again, Robert, does not matter.
Not one bit.
Who's he up against? Tell me again. I forgot.
Staxrud.
Oh, Staxrud. Oh, yeah. And Staxrud was... You know, I mean, he is in the discussion for number one player in the world. And he also...
Not that matters.
Not that that matters. He was a bit quieter back in the day, but we've seen, if Stature doesn't like something, he's going to let you know about it. So I think he is kind of developed into more of a bad boy and more of a polarizing figure with some of his demeanor and some of his personality traits later. Not that that's a bad thing at all. He's wearing it on his sleeve. Guy gives a great interview. I mean, a fantastic interview. Always gives some credit, throws some love to opponents, talks about how tough it is, and he absolutely just lives and breathes the sport of pickleball. So I think that there's a lot to like with Federico Stature.
That's a good analysis, Adam. That's the stud v stud round of 32. I'm excited to see who advances. I want to hear why. I hope we have some players fighting for their advancement, because there could be some big upsets. Looking at you, Greg Dow.
Yeah, that's right.
So the way this will play out, we'll get this on social. You guys will vote for who advances, and then we will advance the draw, do another recap of who's playing who, and then you guys will continue to vote until we windle it down. Windle it? Is that the right word? Windle?
Dwindle.
Dwindle.
Dwindle. Dwindle. There you go.
Oh, my God.
You're doing great, buddy.
Oh, my God.
You're doing great.
Holy cow. Windle it down. Josh, get out of here. Producer Josh had a pipe in there. All right. Dwindle it down. Windle it down. My God, dude. Get me off Windle. This.
Uh-uh. Dwindle yeah, it down. That's not a word.
No, it's not. It's not. We'll dwindle it down to one stud of the court, stud of all studs. And until then, until next week, until round of 16, get your votes in.